Well, turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of what we're calling the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we're seeing men and women who took God at His Word, who trusted God, lived by faith, and that's our goal. Our goal would be that we'd be men and women who not only trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, but then we live out our Christian lives by faith. We live by the Word of God. We are to be encouraged as we look at these men and women of faith as we see examples found in Hebrews chapter 11. This morning, of course, we're continuing looking at Abraham and Sarah. And last time we saw that by faith, they had a baby. We'd say, both were past the age of having children. In fact, he was 100 years old and she was 90 years old. But God promised that they would have a son and that through that son, the Messiah would come. And so they took God at His word. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about how they viewed the future. And we call this future by faith. And I want you to think about this because this is what we're talking about. It's so easy to be tied to our world. It's so easy to think about the things of the world. It's so easy to be conformed to the fallen world system. And our goal is that we look to the future. We look to the eternal rather than the temporary. We talked a little bit about this back when we were in verses 9 and 10 when it talked about Abraham leaving and going, not even know where he was going, and he lived as an alien and all of that, and he lived never took the land that he was promised. And we want to see that. We want to talk about future. And we may be encouraged as we think about the future. How do you view the world? John tells us not to love the world or the things in the world. We know that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for the sins of the entire world. But how do we view the world? I mean, the truth is it attracts us. It is. I mean, we're fallen people. We have the flesh. The flesh is pulled by this fallen world. It's controlled by Satan, who controls the world, who then it attracts us. And we're pulled by the things of this world. In fact, Romans chapter 2, he says, stop being conformed to this world. Literally, stop being shaped by the world. I mean, what are we to do? Here's a great truth. If we're not consciously being transformed by the Word of God, we will unconsciously be conformed to the world. Think about this. If we don't consciously make a decision that we're going to put the Word of God in our brains, we're going to study the Bible, we're going to know it, we're going to apply it, and be transformed by the Word of God, if we're not consciously doing that, unconsciously we'll be shaped and conformed to this world. And that's a problem. When you think about this world, it's temporary. One day it'll all be gone. This world is one day that everything that we see. In fact, you know, there's the only thing that's permanent is God and the Word and people. Everything else will be gone. How do we deal with this world? The key is this. We have to look to the eternal rather than the temporal. We look to God and His future and His fulfillment of His promises rather than this world and the temporary passing away of all of this stuff. God has done so much for us. And one day, those promises that we see in the Scripture for us, they will come true. The key is to look to the future. The key is faith as we take God at His word. Well, as we think about this and as we're going through Hebrews chapter 11, let's think about the chapter and what we've been seeing. We said faith is taking God at His word. It is basically believing something is true. It is being persuaded. So when you say faith is taking God at His word. Walking by faith is living our lives based on the truths and principles of the Bible. That's what we see in Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch did something. By faith, Abel did something. By faith, Noah did something. By faith, Abraham did something. They all took God at His word. They lived out what God told them. When we talked about faith, we said there were several things to remember, that faith always has an object. There's no such thing as just believe. You have to believe something. We believe in something. There's object of our faith. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ. We're believing in Him for eternal life. It's not the quality or the quantity, not the quantity or quality of our faith, but the object. We can have all the faith in the world in Buddha, and He's not going to save us because He's not a Savior. We can have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed in Jesus Christ, and we have eternal life. So it's not quantity or quality of faith. It's the object of our faith which counts. As we've been going through Hebrews 11, we've seen these acts of faith. We saw creation by faith in verse 3. We saw the sacrifice by faith in Abel in verse 4. We saw Enoch and a walk of faith in verse 5. We saw Noah and a work of faith as he built the ark in verse 7. We saw obedience of faith to Abraham when he left the Ur of the Chaldees and went to a place he didn't even know where he was going. We saw dwelling by faith in verse 9, where Abraham was living as a stranger and a pilgrim in the land that God gave him, and he never even possessed the land. And then last time we saw birth by faith. Abraham and Sarah, that at 100 years old and at 90 years old, they trusted God that He's going to give them the child that He promised. And now this morning, We're going to look at what I call future by faith, and that's Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, the verses that we read a while ago. We're going to see how they saw the future, how they looked to the future, how they saw the eternal promises of God rather than a fallen world. So let's think about it. Let me show you the outline. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at what we call future by faith. We're going to see they all died. They all died without the promises, without seeing the promises fulfilled. But they were looking to the eternal, we'll see in verses 14 and 15. And then ultimately, the bottom line is the city. Not Oklahoma City, but the city, okay? And we're going to talk about the city. And it's called the city of God. And we're going to see it. It's called the Holy City. It's New Jerusalem. And we'll see it. Let's begin. Let's think about the future by faith. How did they view the future? We saw earlier they live life already from an eternal perspective. And let's think about future for just a second. I hope this will all work. Let's think about where we are. As you know, in the Old Testament, the focus in the Old Testament was looking forward to the coming Messiah. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. That's why we put the arrow there. He died on the cross and rose again, paying for sins. Well, now, this is the church. This is the New Testament. This is where we are now. We're living out, proclaiming Jesus Christ. One of these days, Jesus is going to come in the clouds, called the rapture. We're going to be taken off the face of the earth. We'll be with him. There'll be a time on the earth, 7 years, called the tribulation. Then there'll be the second coming of Jesus Christ. We'll be coming with him. He'll set up a kingdom and he will rule for 1,000 years. And then after that is the thing, and it's not on this chart, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And after that there's eternity. But eternity is Revelation chapters 21 and 22, in which God talks about a new heavens and a new earth and a new city, the New Jerusalem. And so that's what they were looking for. It may surprise you. Abraham and Sarah were looking for a city that God was going to build. And that city is New Jerusalem. And by the way, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that city. Look at verse 9 of Hebrews 11. By faith, he, Abraham, lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents, as Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. They all were promised the land, and they never possessed it. They never even had a place that had a foundation. But they were looking for what? The city, which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of them were looking forward to the city. Now, we've talked about this over and over. People all say, well, when you die, do you want to go to where? Heaven. But heaven is not the place. Heaven is a temporary place. In the heavenly places, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father right now in the heavenly places. But heaven is a temporary place. We're going to come back to this earth for 1,000 years, as that chart shows, and then in eternity, we're going to be in a new heavens and a new earth and the city, Jerusalem. We ought to be looking for the what? The city. We ought to say to people that we don't say it because they don't understand it. We said, if you were to die, would you get to go to the city? Right? Because that's what Abraham and Sarah were looking for, and Isaac and Jacob. And we're going to see it this morning, that's the same thing. They never possessed the land. They never got the fulfillment of the promises. But they were looking for the city of God. It's found in Revelation 21. We're going to go to that this morning before we're through. I just want you to see a few things. They were looking to the eternal rather than the temporal. They were not tied to the world, but they were looking for the holy city of God. The same thing for us. It's so easy to be tied to the world. It's so easy to want everything here. We live as if this is it, and this is not it. We must live our lives on this earth, not tied to the temporary, but looking to the eternal. Look what it says about them in verse 13. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. It says they all died in faith. That means they died trusting God, trusting the promises, trusting everything, but they didn't receive them. Look, they all died in faith without receiving the promises. What are we talking about? You remember what Abraham was promised? He was promised a land. He was promised an offspring. He was promised a people group. He was promised the Messiah would come through him. He was promised the city. And he died never even possessing the land. The only part of the land that he ever owned was the place to bury his wife. That's all. That's all. They didn't receive the promises. Look at the land in possession. God said, this land is yours and it's yours forever, and I'm going to give it to you through your son Isaac and through Jacob and on down. They were strangers. They never possessed the land. You know when they got the land the first time? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph went down to Egypt, 400 years, came out with Moses. Moses died. Joshua took him into the land. That's the first time they got the land. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob died without ever getting the land. The seed. Abraham saw Isaac and Jacob, but that's it. He didn't see the nation. When they went down to Egypt, there were only 75 of them. They came out with 2 million. Abraham never saw that. The blessing, it was partial. They were blessed, but the ultimate blessing is the Messiah. They didn't live to see the Messiah. In fact, the Messiah came 2,000 years after Abraham. And the city, they never lived in the city. They never even had a permanent place to live. They had tents and moved around. They never had a foundation, but they were looking for the city. For these people died without the fulfillment of the promises. Did this mean God didn't keep his word? No, it just means the promises are for the future. The promises for them will be fulfilled in the future. Notice what it says. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them. God said, you're going to have the seed, you're going to have the land, you're going to have the blessings, you're going to have the city, you're going to have all that. And they said, yeah, we see them, we just don't get them. And it said they welcomed them from a distance. That means they embraced them. They said, those are ours. If you'd have said to Abraham, Abraham, you got a son, and then finally your son's got a son, you're going to have enough offspring as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And Abraham said, yep. Do you see that? Not right now, but I do see it. Well, what about the land? You don't even have any of this land. Everywhere you go, somebody says, that's our land. And you go, well, okay, we'll move over here. But it really is your land, but you never possess it. Are you going to ever possess it? He said, of course I'm going to possess it. Just not right now. What about some of the promises? If Jesus Christ doesn't come back soon, and he can come back at any time, some of us are going to die before the rapture. See, there's a promise. He's going to come in the clouds, and what's going to happen? The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we who are alive and remain, what's going to happen to us? We'll be changed. But some of us are not going to live to see the rapture in that way. That means it's not going to be true? No, it's going to be true. We just may not live to see it. Notice what it says. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers in exiles on the earth. They confessed, we just passing through. Let me tell you something about this world. It is very attractive. There's all kind of things out there. There's cars and houses and boats and money and possessions and fun things. This whole world just pulls us all the time. And there's nothing wrong with the other things. But remember, that's all temporary. Everything you get breaks. Eventually, it wears out. There's garage sales every day, and you go there, and there's things in that garage sales that people just used to have. And now it's in a garage sale for a nickel, right? So we realize we're just passing through. This earth at this time, we're just passing through. And the promises of God, they're not tied to this temporal part. They're tied to the eternal. There are promises that God has for us. Think about it. He's promised us a new body. He says in Philippians, he's going to change this body into a glorious body like his. It's called a glorified body, which means that it won't decay. It means it'll last forever. I think they'll all be tall and no glasses and hair. I think the glorified body will be that. But anyway, who knows? But think about it. He's promised us that. He's promised us a home. He's promised us that city. He's promised us that city. You know what? There's going to become a day that many of us in this room have lost loved ones who know Jesus Christ as Savior, and we know they're with Jesus right now. One day, one of the promises is we will be together with them. Remember what 1 Thessalonians says? He says, the dead in Christ rise first, we are alive and remain in Christ, and he's going to come in the clouds, and we'll be taken up, and thus we will all be together with the Lord. That didn't happen yet. It's coming. It's coming. I'm going to see my daddy and my mama. And you're going to see people you love. They confessed. They said, we're just strangers and exiles, because even though God promised us all this, it's not for right now. They were looking forward to the future. And then he goes on to say, for those who say such things, make it clear they're seeking a country of their own. Look, they're not seeking this earth. They're looking for something that's eternal. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful to keep our eyes on the eternal things of God rather than being tied to this world, because it's so easy to be tied to this world. Because the world pulls on us all the time. We have the flesh, we have the natural pull, and the whole world is there pulling us in all those areas. And what happens if we're tied to the world? Look what he goes on to say. He says, for those who say such things, verse 14, make it clear that they're seeking a country of their own. And if they had been thinking of the country from which they went out, they would have had the opportunity to return. They're basically saying, if Abraham was so tied to this world, he'd have gone back to the Ur of the Chaldees. Because he had land there. He was rich there. Then he comes to the land that God actually gives him, and he possesses nothing. And they're saying, if Abraham didn't look to the future, he'd have gone back home. He'd have gone back to the Ur of the Chaldees and said, I'm moving back because I got stuff back there. I got nothing up here. But he said, no, I got stuff here. It's just not for now. Those who say such things make it clear they're seeking a country of their own, because if they'd been thinking of the country which they went out, they would have the opportunity to return. You remember when Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt? Do you remember what they said? They all got there, and Moses came and said, God has heard our cry, and we're coming out. And all the people were going, yeah, this is great. And then things got tough, and they said, why did you come here, Moses? Moses said, God says, bring us out. And they brought him out, and they parted the Red Sea, and they went across it all night long. And in the morning when the Egyptians followed, it closed back over them. We're going to see that in Hebrews chapter 11. And they got to the other side, and they started off, and they didn't have any water. And they all said, let's go back to Egypt. And Moses went up on a mountain to get the law. And Moses left. And they said, we don't know what happened to Moses. And they go to his brother Aaron, and they say, Aaron, where's your brother? And he goes, he's up on top of that mountain. And they said, let's make a god and let's go back to Egypt. And they made the golden calf. The whole plan was to go back to Egypt. And while he's on the mountain, God said to Moses, Moses, they've already turned away from me. The party you hear down is not, it's a party. It's an orgy is what it was. See, if you're not looking to the eternal, you're going to want to go back. You're going to want to go back. After we trust Jesus Christ as Savior and we have eternal life and we're saved from this world, if we're looking to this world, we're going to want to go back. We're going to want to live like we used to live. We're going to be tied to this world. Ephesians says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. We walked according to the lust of the flesh. We walked according to this fallen world system. That's how we lived. I want you to see something. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, I don't want you to turn there. I just want you to listen to this. We're going to turn somewhere else in just a second. This is 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Here's what John writes. He says, do not love the world or the things of this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It's not from the Father, it's from the world. And the world is passing away. The world is passing away. You can't love the world. Now remember what we said, if you're not consciously being transformed by the word of God, you will unconsciously be conformed to this fallen world. Most of us are conformed to this world and we don't even know it. We're not even realizing it because it's unconscious. I want you to see something. The world hates us. We're in the world but not of the world. And we're sent into the world. I want you to see those three things. I want you to hold your place in Hebrews. And I want you to go to John chapter 15. Okay, just turn there for a second. John chapter 15. I want you to see this. Because what we have to do is realize that the world is not our friend. You know, the world is very attractive. The world looks good. But the world's not your friend. In fact, those three things, the world hates us. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we are sent into the world. So I want you to see those three things. I want you to look at John chapter 15. Look at verse 17. This is Jesus talking to his men. This is the last night right before he goes to the cross. Look what he says. This I command you that you do what? What do? You love one another. That's the sign. Do you know what? That's the sign of believers. You know that? Now, it seems like the sign of Christians in the world today is splits. You know, they split. They're mad at their man. But the sign of believers is that we love one another. That's the key. And then I want you to see what he says. Here's number one. The world hates us. John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world hates us. You know why? Because we're tied to Christ. Listen, you can go anywhere you want to, and you can say God all you want to, and you say, I love God. Everybody goes, we love God. Everybody loves God. God's good. Yeah, God's good. Isn't God good? God's good. Then you say, but the only way to God is through Jesus Christ, because he's the true God, and you make a bunch of people mad right then. Because when you identify with Jesus Christ, this fallen world is immediately against you because the fallen world hates Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. We belong to Christ, and it's a fallen world. We can't love the world because the world hates us. Look at the second thing. Second thing is we're not of this world. Look at John 15:19. If you were of the world would what? Would love its own, but because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world because of this world hates you. We're not of this world. Listen, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We've been taken out of this world. When you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, God takes you out of this world and places you in Christ. You're in the body of Christ, which is called the church. So every one of us, we may be in the world, but we're not of this world. And so the world hates us, and one of the reasons it hates us is because we're not of it. Listen, if you were of the world would love its own. So by faith in Jesus Christ, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And there's one more thing I want you to see. Turn to John 17, just a few pages over. In verse 14. And in verse 14, he reviews what we have seen. But I want you to see the last thing, and that is we're sent into this world. John 17, look at verse 14. I have given them your word. And Jesus is talking to the Father, and he's talking about the disciples. He says, I've given them your word, and the world has what? Hated them because they're not what? Of the world. See, the world hates us, and we're not of this world. And then look what he says a little further down, because did you have that slide of the hate? Yeah, two things. The world hates us, and we're not of this world. But look down at verse, he says, verse 16, verse 17, they're not of this world. And verse 15 says, I don't ask you to take them out of the world. Now, wait a minute. The world hates us. The world is against us. We're not of this world. But he says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Why? Why? Look at verse 18. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. See, he sends us into the world. As the Father sent the Son to carry the message of his death and resurrection. Well, that was Jesus' message. By the way, just remember that. Jesus talked about the fact that he was going to come and die on the cross and pay for sin and rise again. That's a message. What's our message? It's called the gospel. What is the gospel? What is it? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We go out these doors. What is our message to this world that we've been sent to? It's not be good. It's not do good. It's not just come to our church. It is Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. You believe in him, and you have eternal life. It's that simple. That's the mission. He says, if you have sent me into the world, that's Jesus to the Father, I've sent them into the world. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech through us. We are ambassadors. We represent Jesus Christ in this fallen world. We go into this world. We realize we're not to be pulled by this world. We're not to be dragged down by this world. We're not to get all tied up into this world because the world hates us. We're not of this world, but we've been sent to this world. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. He says, listen, they weren't tied to this world. He said they made it clear they were looking for something else, because if people are not looking for something else, they'll go back. They'll go back. If you're not looking to the eternal, if you're not being transformed by the Word of God, if you're not seeking to live for Christ or look for the promises, you're going to be unconsciously conformed to this fallen world. Look what it says, verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah, they were all looking for something else. That is the heavenly one. That is this new city. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God. In fact, God says he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Sarah. That's what he says. He's not ashamed to be called their God. Now notice the key. For he has prepared a city for them. He's not afraid to be called, he's not ashamed to be called the God of Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, and Jacob, because he has prepared a city for them. Do you want to see the city? The city's for you. See, we all say, I want to go to heaven when I die. Well, if you were to die right now, the body would be in the grave, absent from the body's presence with the Lord. Jesus is seated in the heavenly places. But one of these days, he's coming back to the earth, and he's going to set up a kingdom, and you're going to be on this earth with Jesus in that kingdom. And then when that kingdom is over, he makes a new heavens and a new earth. And the new heavens and new earth, there's a new city. It's called the New Jerusalem, and it's the city, the holy city. It's the city that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and everybody else was looking forward to. And so in reality, instead of us just saying, I want to go to heaven, we ought to be saying, I can hardly wait for the city. Okay, let's see the city. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. And by the way, it's not Revelations, it's Revelation, singular. Revelation chapter 21. This is John, the Apostle John, the same one who wrote the Gospel of John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he wrote the book of Revelation. And in this vision that God gave him, God showed him what the future is going to be. And look what it is. Chapter 21, look at verse 1. This is what John sees. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. He said, I saw a whole new thing, a new heaven and a new earth. This is John seeing the future. New heavens, new earth. And then look what he says. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. He said, I saw the new city. Listen, what's the most important city in the whole world right now? It's not New York. It's not Los Angeles. It's not Tokyo. It's not London. You know what it is? What is it? It's Jerusalem. See, Jerusalem used to be called Salem. It comes from Shalom. Salem means peace. Jerusalem means Jehovah's peace, God's peace. YHWH, the personal name. This is God's peace city. That's what Jerusalem is. It's the most important city in the world. When Jesus Christ comes and sets up his kingdom and rules on this earth, he will rule from that Jerusalem. But then he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth. And guess what he saw? I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. And this new city, it's going to be a new earth, and all of a sudden we're going to look. And John says, he looks up and he sees this giant city coming down out of heaven. That's our city. Jesus said, I go to prepare a what? Place for who? For you. Where's that place? It's in that city. Let's see what it looks like. Look at verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like this very costly stone and stone of crystal clear jasper. And look what it had. It had a great high wall with 12 gates. And at the gate there are 12 angels and the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Look at this city. I think the next slide has, is it? Yeah, in Hebrews 21, 10 through 12, is it half? What's next? Yeah, there was a wall with 12 gates. What's the name of the gates? Judah, Simeon, Levi. You go all around. That's the 12 what? The 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Now, there's a little problem here because there were 13 tribes because Joseph had dual Ephraim and Manasseh. So maybe they took Ephraim and Manasseh, and when we get there, it'll be Joseph. Okay, and there's more. Look at verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. Now, before we go any further, if you look at that, you said, wait a minute, I thought we were in there, but the names of the gates are what names? The tribes of Israel. That sounds pretty Jewish to me, right? And we're the what? We're the what? We're the church. We go, wait a minute, what about us? They got gates. Look at us. Verse 14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on the name were the 12 names of the what? The 12 apostles of the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? That's Jesus Christ. Now, it's a big city. Look at verse 16. The city is laid out as a square. It's a square. And its length is as great as its width. And he measured the city with a rod, 1,500 miles, its length and its width and its height. The city is 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles high. You want to live in the penthouse? That's going to be way up there, right? That's what it says. This is your city. This is the city whose foundations, whose architect and builder is God. This is the city that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't that way, I told you, in my Father's house there are many what? Rooms is what it literally says. Rooms. He's gone to prepare a city. What are we looking for? This? See, when we're here on a Sunday morning, what are we looking for? We're saying, I could hardly wait to get into the new building, right? Because we say these are chairs, and they're good chairs, but they're not going to be like chairs like we got. And this, you know, we're going to be able to come in and everything else. And we're all excited about, in a couple of months, we may get to be in the what? The new place. The new Jerusalem, right? Now, but see, if we said, we don't really want to move to the new place. We like these chairs. We like sitting up every week. We like this, and we like this. Because we're looking to this. And we'd say, we don't really want to move because we're kind of tied to this place. What if we said, hey, we need to move and leave. We need to be looked to the future, to the new building. And we said, no, we kind of like this. And see, what happens is people say, God says, look to the city I have for you. And we go, no, we kind of like this old world. We just like kind of stick here. We want to think like this place. And God says, no, 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 you need to look to the future. You need to see what I've prepared for you. You need to remember the promises that I have for you. Not to the temporal, to the eternal. Let me give you some applications. Let's keep the eternal perspective. Let's keep looking forward. Let's look to what God's promises, that in due time they'll all be fulfilled. There'll be eternal life. There'll be a home in heaven. We'll have a new body. There'll be new Jerusalem. There'll be no more tears. We will get to serve him. We will be united with our loved ones. That's going to happen one day. God has a city for us, the new Jerusalem. Second, let's view the world properly. I mean, let's think about this world, right? Let's not be tied to this world. But realize this, that the world hates us. Don't go yet. Say that the world hates us for a second. Just remember that this that you think you love hates you. Who controls the fallen world system? Who does? Satan controls the fallen world system. Does he love you or hate you? He hates you. He's a roaring lion. He would love to devour you. He would fool you. He will lie to you. He is more evil than you can imagine. You can't even imagine just how bad Satan is, and he controls this whole world system, and the world system looks so good, and we say, I'm pulled to this. It hates us. And the second thing is, we're not of this. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're of Jesus Christ. We've been placed in union with Christ. Just test it. Go to someplace and talk about God and you'll be okay. But talk about Jesus and you won't be okay. Because the world hates us and we're not of this world. And the last but not least, we are sent to this world with the message of salvation. We spent a lot of time in Sunday school this morning talking about this message, the message of grace, that we're saved by grace through faith plus nothing in Jesus Christ. We trust in Christ for eternal life. He died and rose again. He gives eternal life. And all who believe in him will never perish, but have eternal life. We've got that message. And every one of us in this room, we should know it. And as we go out these doors, see, because we always say, we've gathered this morning to worship and be trained. We've gathered this morning to sing the songs, to worship our Savior, to respond to him and singing and praying and giving and studying and all these things. Those are acts of worship. They're acts of being trained and equipped. But then we scatter. And we go into this fallen world with the message of salvation. May we trust God, seeing things from the eternal perspective, not being tied to this world, but taking the greatest message of all to this world.